listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
What's the primary thing that gets any of us off track in our lives? What causes an Olympic athlete to make mistakes in Olympic competition on a routine they've done hundreds of times? What causes us to get off track with our children, our coworkers, or our boss, perhaps saying things we wish we had not uttered? What can keep us awake at night, better even than an infant? My guest today, Christopher Pinkley, refers to the cause of these things as mud, and he's here to talk about the mud removal system. So stay tuned, you'll find out the answers. So welcome to Full Power Living, where we're helping the world to realize and work with the importance, power, and mastery of human emotions. We welcome your questions and your comments on our two chats, one on Blog Talk Radio and the other at emotionalpro.com. And you can also call toll-free 888-498-0570. If you have a question for Christopher Pinkley, 888-498-0570. Well, let's talk about who Christopher Pinkley, and we're going to be calling him Chris today, is. He's a dedicated pioneer of human development and consciousness expansion. He's a coach for business owners, entrepreneurs, and CEOs who want to challenge themselves at the highest level. He's an author. He's written over 20 books, including Reality Creation 101, State of Mind 2.0, and the latest book that we're talking about today is The Mud Removal Program, How to Remove the Emotional Mud That's Trapped Inside of You. He's also the founder of Global Entrepreneurs Talk Radio, as well as the Coaching Journal podcast, and he's associated with the Entrepreneurs and Leadership Division of John F. Kennedy University, as well as the Board of CEOs in San Francisco. And he lives and researches and writes and coaches clients in Lafayette, California. So, Chris Pinkley, welcome to Full Power Living.
Eileen, thank you so much for having me on your show. An absolute pleasure. Excited to be here. You know, as you're giving me that nice introduction, I thought, wow, I really am important. I kind of forgot how awesome I was.
Uh-huh. It when
so
you read
for
it.
That.
Yeah, sure. When you read it on paper, it does that. You go, wow, I really, because, see, now what that tells me about you, Chris, is that you're very involved in serving, because you're not really looking up to count how many things you've gotten done. You're just going forward with your service. Would you say that's true about you?
You know, there's a lot. I mean, you know, one of the things that I learned was, you know, it's a very convoluted subject. I mean, you kind of asked a slightly complicated question for me to answer, because there's a lot there. And in one part, absolutely, I have discovered that, you know, I always have to feel like I'm benefiting the person in the work. And this is slightly tangential to what you said, but it fits in. I have to feel like I'm benefiting the person doing the work, or I can't really continue on doing that kind of work or working with that person. Or, in other words, I need to always feel like there's forward progress. I found that out about myself.
Yes.
That, you know, in being a coach and that type of thing, you know, you can easily get into just sort of a kind of a slightly codependent rhythm with a client. And so you kind of need to be on your guard for, you know, just to be careful that you're not just, you know, you're not just trying to have a certain number of checks coming in each month. And you know, it's something that, you know, most coaches don't have that problem. They have the problem of trying to get enough clients. But once you get there, then you just have to be kind of on guard for that. The second thing is, coming from a very poverty-conscious background, where, you know, being raised in an environment where, you know, money is treated as the root of all evil, and rich people are bad, you know. So you know, mm-hmm. You don't want to be a bad rich person, right? You
know? So I've avoided that in my life.
Then good for you. You know,
yeah,
I hate
right.
to be a bad rich person, but, you know, coming from that background, that's there's definitely a subconscious, a massive subconscious avoidance of money, and as a result, success, that I've battled with for a long time. So I'm careful about the way I answer that question. That's why I'm giving you sort of the long, slightly long-winded version of it, because I do feel like it's okay to want material success and abundance. And again, this wasn't exactly the nature of your question, but it just triggers a lot for me. So I'm just going to try to, I'm kind of going with a little bit. So I do feel like it's okay to accomplish things and to also to accumulate, material things, as long as they're fulfilling to you, of course, and pursue the abundance, however much that you want, mm-hmm. in whatever way you want, So I'm just real careful about, I'm just real careful about how I answer those type of questions, because I also don't want to affirm in somebody else's mind, kind of by default, that it's not okay to do something, to make money, and or, to only want to do it to be of service and not make money, right? There's a fine line, in my opinion, because I see a lot of people just, they're sort of mantras. I just want to be of service, and a lot of them are they're broke.
Right, they can't be.
Yeah, absolutely, and a lot of them are doing really well, too, uh-huh. right? So, and I know both sides of that equation as well as I do. And I just have spent way too much, time in my life on the one side, and so the pendulum swung, from the left to the right. And then, I'd like to think that I'm closer to the center now, uh-huh. on the integral path.
Thank you for that.
Absolutely. I'm here all day.
We're talking. Your mission is to tell people about the mud that's stuck inside of them. At least that's the mission in this book, how it gets there, how it affects us. And then you give a simple method for removing it. And so start us off by explaining mud. Where did you come up with that for explaining emotional blockage?
Well, thank you for asking that. I think that's a really good place to start, because the whole concept behind the book was really to explain something that can become very complex, and to also engage the readers in a fairly complex subject in a kind of a fun, light way. Even then, it still can get really complicated. But I feel like the mud is, having trapped emotional mud inside of you. It's such a great metaphor for, people who are, kind of have all these suppressed emotional charges that they haven't really dealt with, but that manifest in their life unconsciously and sort of magnetically draw these kind of, muddy situations to themselves, if you will. And so the idea for the mud just seemed really apt, because I feel like if you could see all the emotional junk trapped inside of you, and the average person could see that it would look kind of sort of like mud in a way. It would be discolored, and you could sort of liken it to seeing somebody's aura, maybe perhaps, mm-hmm. in a way. And that's one way of many of looking at it. But it's just kind of like, it's this stuff is in there, and it's, it's kind of heavy and it's dense, and so mud just seemed like a great way to kind of bridge the gap for the average person to take a deeper look at the process and hopefully, glean some aha moments from reading the book that in and of itself could be, I like to think that every aha moment that you have in awareness and consciousness is worth $1 million, minimum,
Oh, good. I had one yesterday.
You're a millionaire.
Another thing that you say, I'm serious, I did. Another thing that you say, and I totally agree with you, is that this, and this is a quote, this amazing time period is actually designed to help us release and let go of all of our old, outdated, outmoded, mentally and emotionally muddy ways of your way of talking about these times of transition. And you're also pointing to the fact that in order to get through this, we've got to clear out a lot of the mud or detritus or emotional baggage that we're carrying. Is that, am I understanding you correctly?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think you're well aware yourself of, you know, you perceive, you know, I mean, obviously you probably have been on this, you've been on this path since the 70s. So you're well aware. This is definitely a time of transition. And, you know, if it's true, let's just say theoretically, right? Hypothetically, theoretically, if it's true that there is a massive vibrational acceleration happening right now, which I believe that it is, and I think that you do too, and many, many millions of people, if it's true, then you have to, it means for those people that are queued up for this, for lack of a better way to sort of just to you know, because there's a lot of generalization that you do when you talk about a subject like this, but for lack of a better way to say it, if it's true, then, you know, in order to sort of be a part of this, you have to release that, you know, emotional mud, because it's dense and it's heavy. It's lower vibrational, right? So if you want your frequency to catch up, then you have to release it if you want to, you know, if you want to float up to the top, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's what you say. You say that problems arise when you hold on to old patterns. And I wanted to ask you, though, Chris, let's talk a little bit about where the mud comes from. One of the things that I've said as a therapist is that we tend to repeat the emotional patterns of our childhood over and over again as adults unless we make changes. And I think your theory that you're putting out here would support that.
Absolutely. I mean, on a very basic level, meaning a basic fundamental truth, I inherently 100% concur with the way you described it. I don't think that's our ending point, though. I think that's our starting point.
Yes.
Accepting that we're repeating these patterns, right?
Yes.
And that they're, you know, for lack of a better way to say it, we'll call it subconscious, or you could say we're acting them out unconsciously, meaning that, you know, I think it's completely fine if we even redefine what subconscious means. And I have a tendency to use unconscious a little bit more than subconscious when describing this type of thing anyway. But I think that is the starting point that anybody should look at is, okay, you know, I know that these are, I'm going to accept that these are patterns, you know, whether you want to say they're maybe, they even call them 7-year cycles or whatever, that, you know, or even just the smaller karmic, you know, daily cycles, weekly cycles, monthly cycles, that are based on the subconscious programming that we absorb environmentally, generally speaking, they're absorbed, you know, from ages 1 to 7. That's your starting point. And then understanding, you know, if you want to push the envelope a little bit, that, you know, when we're incarnating, we're coming in with where we left off from the last one, still working on, you could say, cleaning it up, you know, or agreeing to work on, continue these lessons. So, you know, because then you could say, well, you know, every child is clearly different, has a different personality, right?
Right.
You know, they're different souls with different, you know, and some kids, you know, when they incarnate, they've got, you know, obviously way different lessons, right? So that, you know, so then you can argue, well, is it environmental or does it come in with it? And I say it's a combination of both.
Yes. Yeah, I would agree. So what are the negatives for our listeners, perhaps people who haven't really heard much about this in the past? What are the negatives of continuing to hold what you're calling mud deep inside of us?
Well, it ranges. It ranges all the way from, you know, and I enjoy, Eileen, that you ask these questions, you know, for the listener when it's clear that you are well-versed and well-steeped in this, and, you know, I'm not saying anything that you don't already know. Of course, you've been at it for a long time. So, but I'm appreciative of the way that you're asking these questions, you know, for the listener. So, you know, the repercussions and ramifications of continued karmic cycle range all the way from annoying to deadly, you know, basically. In other words, you know, if you keep doing the same thing over and over again and it's unpleasant, you know, to you, or it doesn't get you the desired result, at the very least, you know, it's kind of annoying. But it can range all the way to absolutely destructive and deadly, right? So,
yes.
For instance, let's just take, you know, a basic one that you and I have probably seen many people deal with, which is the relationship cycle. And let's just say, you know, you're drawing somebody to you, you're drawing a certain type of personality to yourself, and it doesn't matter what physical body they show up in, it's the same person, you know. And you're aware of this because you're annoyed by it. You know, this isn't like, it's not fun. You know, the first 3 months are fun. What's interesting, though, is as you go through these relationship cycles, it goes from, it may start out as the first year was fun, and then but the next one is like really only the first 6 months are fun, and then the next one really only the first 3 months are fun. And if you're able to track it, you know, for somebody who's dated, you know, for, you know, a certain length of time, you'll actually see that it gets less fun, that the length, the duration of the fun diminishes until eventually you just can't do it anymore. And if you do it, it's actually very destructive, you know, not necessarily physically or harmfully, although that could be the case, but just toxically, you know, all the cells in your body, none of the cells in your body want to be in that relationship.
Right.
Either.
Right. Right.
You know? And so, you know, and of course, the relationship's very core. It's very key to the core of who we are. So it affects energetically, affects everything else you're doing. You know, and there's all kinds of negative things from just wrapping yourself up in constant relationship cycles and never making any forward progress in your career or your calling, your art or your creativity, all the way to, you know, giving away your power to this person so that they have kind of control over your life, to all the different things that can come from not addressing, you know, the kind of the emotional mud trapped inside of you, or the muddy patterning, you know, to kind of continue with the theme of the book a little bit.
Great, yes. So we're up to our first break, Chris, and I'm talking with Christopher Pinkley, a coach for business owners, entrepreneurs, and CEOs, about his latest book about removing the mud deep inside of yourself. And Chris, when we come back, I want to talk with you about some of the benefits of removing the mud and where the system, the mud removal system, originates, and also what it takes to remove the mud. So you're listening to Full Power Living, and we'll be right back.
That emotionally, children form the foundation for their life during their first 7 years? Most adults just repeat that early emotional learning, good or bad, over and over for the rest of their lives. If you want to give your child an opportunity to live an emotionally masterful life, then join me, Eileen Dillon, also known as the Emotional Pro, for a free one-hour teleseminar on what it takes for your child to become an emotional master. You'll discover important things like what emotions are designed to do for us, 4 things it's vital for parents to tell their children about emotions, and the single most important thing to do when someone is feeling emotion. Register now at RaiseIncredibleKids.com. The time has come for us to allow emotions their rightful place in our lives, as the tools and helpers they're created to be. Find out what you need to know in order to give this vital information to your children so they can live emotionally masterful lives. Go now to RaiseIncredibleKids.com for your free emotional mastery teleseminar.
Oh. All right. Welcome back to Full Power Living. Please call in now to talk with growth and consciousness expert Christopher Pinkley, 888-498-0570. I have a couple of announcements. We want to tell you about the wonderful upcoming shows we have for you, so please go to our homepage at emotionalpro.com, click on the subscribe button on the left-hand side, and we will then add you to our newsletter so that you will know about the programs that are upcoming. Next week on Full Power Living, I'm talking with Andrea Corso regarding fear as we explore ideas from her book, Fear to Flow. That's at 9 o'clock a.m. Pacific Time or noon Eastern next week, my conversation with Andrea Corso. You can also download a free list of the seven common emotions and the signals that they give you so that you can help yourself move closer to emotional mastery. So my guest today is Christopher Pinkley. He's author of The Mud Removal System, which is available as an ebook on Kindle. Chris, what is your website? I know you're on Pinterest and you're on LinkedIn and you're on Twitter and so forth. It's easy to find you there. You have a website also, and can people get a copy of the book on your website?
It's sort of like the first question you asked me. It's kind of convoluted, unfortunately.
So, give me the short answer.
The short answer is the easiest way right now to get any of my books is just to go to Amazon and type in Christopher Pinkley. P-I-N-C-K-L-E-Y. I do have my homepage is ChristopherPinkley.com. That's where you basically find out about my coaching. And everything is going to kind of it's going to coalesce, and it's going to get rebuilt, and it's going to be coalesced a little better.
Good.
Yeah. Well, much, much better. That's been one of the things, as a coach, it's just evolving and changing, and you wind up changing your homepage and your URL and your blog and stuff. So it's been quite the journey in that respect. I've only, at any given time, got 10 websites or something ridiculous.
Yes. Well, that sounds familiar for a lot of us, I'm sure. We were talking about some of the negatives of holding this emotional mud, this being clogged inside of us.
It's sort of like the story about the beggar on the side of the road and he keeps begging for money, and eventually somebody asks him, "Hey, what's in that chest you're sitting under? You're sitting on? What's in that chest?" And he said he didn't know, and years later he finally looks, and it's like it's full of gold, right? You know, the benefits to removing suppressed emotional charges. I'll just kind of label it as suppressed emotional charges right now, and we'll say emotional patterning. The benefits to removing that, I don't even know if you can put a price tag on that. getting rid of emotional density is like, you know, it's like living in the dark and suddenly seeing sun. You know, living in the dark, you're spending your whole life in a cave and having the first ray of sun come through, and then eventually, like, you know, stepping outside and seeing the whole sky. I don't even know how to quantify the manifestations that I've seen happen have been, you know, anywhere from, you know, after somebody, you know, goes through some sessions with me or whatever, even just one session, they've been all the way from, you know, maybe taking a week or two to kind of manifest to, you know, the next day, crazy, crazy things happening because the outer is a reflection of the inner, right? So when you clear out the inner, you know, if you look at your psyche is this stained glass window that your soul has to shine through, and that is your reality. And you know, every time you do some of this deep level work, it's like cleaning off one of those panes. Even though stained glass window is kind of beautiful, so it's not a quite correct analogy. You know, it's still accurate that when you clean off the pane, then the soul shines through a little more brightly each time. And it's like. What if the question to a listener would be, if there were listeners that say that we're dealing with relationship issues, and sort of to stick with that example, it would be like, you know, one day, you know, you're trapped in relationship hell, and I'm just going to kind of be extreme, you know, and then, you know, the next day, like, that person leaves, and you know, suddenly all these amazing people are drawn to you, and all you did was just, you know, cleared out a bunch of your suppressed emotional charges, and now you're automatically just drawing this higher caliber. The only thing that has to catch up is your neural network now has to readjust to this new frequency, this new, you know, of people that are being drawn to you, potential partners, mates, or whatever. I mean, that, you know, it's like, you know, it's just all of a sudden you just get this level, this vibrational level, Jack, and now you're just you're magnetic to this just much higher level of being. It's insane what I've seen happen. It's amazing.
Well, now the question I have for you is, did the mud removal system originate from outside of you, or is that something you've developed either for yourself or as a coach?
Well, I wanted to probe and see if you saw some similarities. The thing was, I first encountered, you know, real, you know, emotional release stuff. The first encounter I had with it was with Hale Dwoskin's book, The Sedona Method. You've read that?
No, I haven't actually.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's interesting. It's interesting to me because my perception is that's a book that a lot of people have read, but you know, I keep finding people that haven't read it. And so that just shows me what, you know, how much of a perception I'm projecting out there. But the Sedona Method is my first glimpse of it. I started using that, and from that, I started to get more of a feeling. I kind of deviated from the technique, and I began to start to be able to feel what another guy, was he the presence process? Michael Brown,
yeah.
The presence process, right?
He's going to be on our show again soon. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I like him.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. He has, you know, his book, The Presence. So, you know, I extrapolated a little bit from the Sedona method and, you know, the basic skeletal structure. And then I kind of integrated some of Michael's work, you know, especially, you know, the way he articulates the felt resonance. And I began to be able to feel these suppressed emotional charges moving around inside of me like almost like animals. You know, and it's almost like they don't want to be found, right? Because they're sort of like sub-personalities, right? So, you know, and the more I got in touch with that, I mean, because, you know, the best work that you ever do is the work that you do on yourself, right? So, I mean, I spent 3 years almost in isolation really going deep with this, and that's, you know, the mud removal program came out of it because I realized that I was doing something different, you know. And the best way to really describe it would be to write a book about it, because it's hard to quantify it. And even the skeletal structure of what I offer in the book for the technique is still very similar to the Hale Dwoskin's Sedona method, but it's definitely not the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just would say that I think the whole thing of the mud analogy or the mud is really helps to envision it, what you're talking about. And also the fact that you opted to present the material in the Socratic form, where you have the one and the other talking back and forth, and the one teaching the other these things and the other questioning that's a really wonderful device that you used, and it draws the reader right in, and it also allows you, as I noticed, allows you to repeat the point two or three times to make sure that people hear what you're talking about. So can we talk a little bit about what your mud removal process is? Because you have several steps. You say that that, as you said earlier, once we release the mud, then we can float up and enjoy higher consciousness. So, and it's a very simple process of questioning and relaxing and clearing, and then going back and clearing again. So, talk to us about that, please.
The process is it is simple, like you said, and yet it's complex. And the only reason it's complex is because why? Because people over-mentalize. They overthink it, right? You know, it's hard for the average person to get in touch with their emotional body. You know, we'll just go ahead and call it the emotional body because it is a body of energy that you have around you, right? And so people, they over-mentalize this. And so that's why you know, it's kind of ironic because you're thinking, well, why do you need a technique for your emotion? You know, and it's sort of the same thing as riding a bicycle. It may come naturally to you, but if, in the beginning, you had to pedal, you had to balance, you had to do all this stuff. And so it's another one of those things, like they say in Aikido, when you transcend the form and you just become the martial art, right? And so you sort of need to have this basic structure, and what within these questions, it starts to trigger a response. And what you find is that when you go through this, when you sit and you relax and you release and you really, what it does is it gets you to surrender to the present moment so deeply that you disidentify from the emotion. And when that happens, it for most people, it's the first time it's ever happened in their entire life, because we're trained to believe that we are our own emotions, right? We are our emotions, and that's just not true. And so when you identify with your emotion, you karmically repeat it, you enact it, and that keeps your karma going, that keeps that energy going. So instead of, you know, because some people think, you know, I'm going to cry and release this, and the problem for many people in that situation is they're not actually releasing, they're just enacting the cycle because they haven't fully disidentified. In other words, they're acting out the crying. They're not letting the crying come through them, right? Those are two different things, but they're subtle. And how do you explain that to somebody, you know, the average person who, you know, is like, well, what the hell is the difference, right? But for you and I and for people in the know, there's a profound difference. There's a profound difference between when it comes through you and you have disidentified, you've surrendered so deeply that it's just your body is just allowing it to come out, and your body is just enacting it, but you are not attached to this emotion that's coming through you. You are witnessing it. You're witnessing the crying and the racking, the sobs and whatever it is coming through you. And when it does, I mean, wow, the difference how you feel afterwards is profound. You feel lighter. And when, you know, if you've, you know, and you've talked to Michael Brown so that you know suppressed emotional charges, when they're released, you can feel the heat from that. It's heat, trapped heat, moving, release, coming out of the body, literally.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Suppressed emotional charges are things inside your body, right?
Right.
So, you know, and so, you know, it can take as little as 5 minutes to have something profound happen, or, you know, it could take you an hour. In general, you know, you want to just allow the process to happen naturally. You don't want to try to force it, because when you try to force it, you start to mentalize and you block the process from happening. And
Right. You
begin to identify and you attach, and now nothing can really happen for you. It's all about surrender, you know, relaxing every muscle in the body, every cell in the body, and then just, you know, and allowing yourself to be with, you know, the uncomfortable feelings and emotions that, you know, we usually push them down. We repress them because, you know, either we don't have time to deal with them, or they're really too uncomfortable, so we don't want to look at them.
Mm-hmm. So on our chat, you were discussing that we are not our emotions. I got a comment that that's news to Donald Trump, and goes further. I've never seen anyone so purely reactive and in the moment of his emotion and nothing else, no filters. Have any comment
Donald
on that?
Trump?
Yeah.
Oh, sure, absolutely. Well, you know, that begs the question. That begs the question, you know, is authentic, is Donald Trump having an authentic expression, yes or no? And is he really flowing, or is he just really completely, you know, unevolved, you know, emotionally reactive, you know, are we seeing, like, you know, basically all the emotional wounds from childhood that have created this, you know, this massive subpersonality or whatever you call it? and he just doesn't get in the way of that? Or is it authentic? And I'm not saying I know the answer. You know, mm-hmm. I don't really follow politics mm-hmm. hardly at all. So I can't comment because I didn't watch it in that respect. But there is validity to somebody who is authentically expressing themselves. But most people that are doing what he may have been doing are just kind of constantly enacting their, wounded inner child, or however you want to say it. I don't know, however you want to describe it. They're just, it's just like this emotional, constant emotional projection.
Mm-hmm.
And the ego is shifty. The ego is, is constantly, will figure out ways to self-validate itself and rationalize everything. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you tell the difference between somebody who's being authentic versus somebody who's just being, who is a master manipulator? It's very difficult.
Right.
You know, I have one of my best friends is, he's got a heart of gold, but he's just one of the most manipulative people on the planet, and slip, the ego is slippery. So,
mm-hmm.
I can only comment on prospectively. I can't, I could never definitively say.
Right.
Because
right.
I've never met him in person, right?
I think that's part of our political dialogue these days. Is he for real or is he not for real? So that's interesting. I'm in the process of divesting myself of all my material possessions right now. I've ordered an RV, and I'm going to take off, and I can only take 800 pounds of material possessions with me. And it helped me to see something that you talk about, that a lot of the things that I have a sentimental attachment to, but that if I stay attached to these things, I can't put them down. And it strikes me that that's a lot of what you're talking about, that we can't stay attached to our emotional mud or our beliefs or however you would want to say it, and put them down. We have to unattach from them. Is that so?
Right. So what you're getting at is something that is really important and valid for people who want to consciously evolve themselves. And that is, the idea that you are defined, your wounds and your personality quirks and all these different things are, it's kind of like that's who I am. And it's not, right? It's not, when somebody has, just as an example, that's easy for everybody to understand because we've all been in situations where, either we sort of felt like that or the other person was defensive, you get in a situation where you're a lot of people are in situations where they want somebody to change their behavior or whatever. And, the person, well, that's who I am. Just have to accept, and of course you don't want to be trying to change anybody because that never works.
Right.
But yeah, if you're in a situation and, what people do is there's two ways they can do it. They can either validate, not wanting to change, or they mistakenly really think that that's part of my personality. And, it's only part of your personality if you make it, but it's really, it's what it is. The ego is accumulation of all these, emotional traumatic, events and opinions and beliefs about it. And so the ego wants to hold on to that because what if you let all that stuff go, who would you be? Right.
Right. Right.
And so,
exactly.
Exactly. And so it manifests for that person as a defensive posture and wanting to hold on to that for fear of who they might find out they really are. And of course, underneath it all is the shining, glowing you, the bigger you.
Mm-hmm.
So only good things will happen, but the fear is immense of releasing what you may perceive to be part of your personality.
Yes, yes. Thank you for explaining that. We're up to our second break. Christopher, so we're talking about the mud removal system as a tool to help us transition to the new consciousness being offered to humans on the earth right now and even to the earth itself. You're listening to Full Power Living, and we'll be right back.
As a parent, have you found all the parenting information you've been hearing lately a bit confusing? Are you having trouble sorting out the best response to your defiant child, or feeling hopeless about regaining respect from your teen, or determining whether your actions as a parent are the right ones? Instead of the usual pressures of parenting that you've been experiencing, you can partner with your child, raising incredible kids who are destined to become amazing adults. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, giving you the opportunity to become the incredible parent for incredible kids. We have the method and the tools. You bring your optimism for learning and the kids. Raise Incredible Kids offers a comprehensive system for raising kids who are responsible, make their own great decisions, and become immune to peer pressure. To get you ready for this new era in parenting, get my free 10-page report, Incredible Communication That Helps You Create Incredible Kids, by visiting RaiseIncredibleKids.com now. That's RaiseIncredibleKids.com.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, I'm talking today with dedicated pioneer of human development and consciousness expansion, author and coach, Christopher Pinkley, about his latest book, The Mud Removal System. Chris, I have so many things. I'm having a hard time picking out which one I want to do. The examples you offer in your book indicate that the mud removal system acts very quickly, especially when done daily, to remove the emotional blockages right out of us. Is it really that effective, that fast?
Absolutely, yeah. I should make the distinction that, you know, it depends on how willing that person is to change and how much they are ready to change.
Yes, that makes
right?
sense. Yes.
So, of course, I'm using examples, extrapolations from different people who have, you know, were kind of at the end of their rope, and so they're ready to make the transition. And what we find in life, and I'm sure you found this many times, is that, you know, when you're ready, you're sort of guided to the right person or technique or thing to help you in that next
right.
make that next shift, you know?
Right.
It just so happens that, you know, this type of work is some of the deepest core level work that you can do. And as well, again, as you know, it's working with, you know, your suppressed emotional charges, your emotional body, your emotional field, because
mm-hmm.
so much can happen. So much can change from that. So, I encourage people to try to get to the root, the core of the problems, which is generally, you know, suppressed, emotional, trapped, you know, you could even call it karma. You know, karma,
mm-hmm.
what is karma? It's really just a bunch of trapped, suppressed emotional charges you're carrying around with you from incarnation to incarnation, and God, it's a drag. Right?
That's really true. Yes. Well, you know, in my work as a psychotherapist, I went through a process many years ago, probably more than 40 years ago, that is known as the identity crisis process. And that process has the effect of helping people to go back to who they were at the moment of birth, as opposed to remaining the person they've learned they are since they got here. And it seems very similar in intent with your mud removal system. And also, along with that, you keep saying that it's time to get ourselves back to our true essence, or no longer in the mud. Why is it
you ask the big questions. which of course I enjoy. And so far, really excellent show. I appreciate being here, Eileen.
Thank you again.
Yeah, absolutely. My perception on what's happening, massive vibrational acceleration.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about it. You know, it's been sort of documented. The Vedic seers, have had it documented. The Hopi Indian have marked this time period on their, kind of galactic calendar. The Egyptians, and of course the Mayans. And I mentioned the Mayans last because that's sort of like the sensationalized version of, kind of a misinterpretation. But, it's fun for Hollywood if you say it's going to be the end of the world. But it's really, of course, it's the ending of one era and it's the beginning of another.
Right.
And the Vedic seers call them yugas. I forget the Kali Yuga, Sat Yuga, whatever. Basically moving from the Dark Age, back into the Golden Age of Enlightenment. There's all kinds of ways of looking at it. But at the very basic level, there's some physicists that have proven it to be true that the frequency of everything is increasing vibrationally.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're holding on to, this dense, heavy energy, and there is, for lack of a better way to say it, there's some sort of universal clock that's pushing the evolution of everything, not just humanity, but everything that exists, up one notch. It's moving one hand to the, it's clicking one hand to the right. It's high noon or whatever. You have to release all the density, because like a pressure cooker inside you, stuff has to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only, this is only my theory about what I see happening. I mean, mm-hmm. There's great books. There's a book, I don't have to bring all that up, but I'm just saying that I've studied so much on this,
right.
And it's definitely, for whatever reason, it's just part of my path. It's sort of, you want to be a part of it. You don't want to be doing it by default, and I'm going to polarize just a little bit here. I don't want to get too negative, but we'll just say that, you don't want it. If you have a bunch of heavy, dense, lower vibrational, emotional mud trapped inside of you, what you don't want is to avoid it and ignore it and continue to repress it. What you
Right.
do want to do is try to figure out a way to release it and integrate it. Because if you just continue to ignore it, well, then it can manifest as something deadly or dangerous, disease or event even otherwise, externalized
right.
event.
Oh, go ahead.
You go ahead. No.
Well, to get back to Michael Brown, he did a program with us on the radiance of intimacy, and he essentially offered that our being intimate with other people here on the earth is a practice for being intimate with God. And he pointed out, and it's very similar to what you're talking about, I believe, he pointed out that the vibration, the intensity of the vibration of God is so great that if we have blockages in us when we try to be intimate with God, we could burn up. We wouldn't be able to match that vibration. We wouldn't be able to be in its presence without getting hurt.
That's definitely, you could even take it at a basic level, like somebody who is practicing Kundalini, who actually kind of stumbles onto the technique and somehow like has an awakening before they're ready, before they've done any work.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen it actually happen. And so this high frequency, powerful energy starts coursing through their body, but it hits a blockage and that can just, it can really jack you up.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's sort of like a smaller scale, if we want to run the energy of God through our body, for lack, again, just saying it,
mm-hmm.
easy way to say, then, you know, you want to run that frequency for your body. Yeah, you've got to have some pretty, you got some clear circuits and, you know, some strong, a strong circuit board, and it has to be completely clear. So, yeah, true
right,
story.
Right. Yeah. Well, so in essence, with this book, The Mud Removal System, you're encouraging your readers to get on with it. The time has come. We've all got mud. It's time to crawl out of it, not continue to move against it as an impediment. And you offer then the promise of raised consciousness and the lightness of being and more of a sense of freedom. And I just want to thank you for doing your part to help us all with our evolution. And I really appreciate that you're talking about what we can do, us humans, to evolve and raise consciousness in ways that many people are not addressing. And I think your concept of mud clarifies what we need to do and why we really benefit from doing it. So I want to thank you for writing The Mud Removal System.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you'll forgive me, it's the Mud Removal Program.
Better. Obviously.
Maybe I should have called it system. I'll meditate on that for sure. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But you know, thank you so much for having me on the show.
Mud Removal Program. Okay. So thank you very much to Christopher for appearing here on Full Power Living to talk with me about this. It's been a pleasure to have you today.
Thank you so much. Really great show. Just had a good time. Good, great question.
Good.
Really appreciate
good.
It.
Welcome to my living room. It's like we've had a good chat. So next week, listen to Full Power Living when I continue our direct exploration of emotions. I'll be talking with Andrea Corso about fear to flow, how to move from fear to ease and flow. I look forward to having you with us next Thursday. Tell your friends and family about us and our shows, and thank you for listening. Full Power Living's producer is Paul Johnston of Fresh Talk Media. And for now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you, pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
To Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.